appreciated those songs, Brian. Drawing our hearts to the Lord. And if we didn't have his life and death on the cross as an example, we wouldn't have a whole lot to talk about this morning. This morning, for a meditation, I would like to read 2 Corinthians 4, if you'll turn there with me in your Bibles. Those of you in our Bible study group might hear a couple of things again. I shared some of these points from 2 Corinthians 4 with our Bible study group. But there's a lot here. Paul is encouraging the church, and I think there's a lot of encouragement for us today. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost, to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay, going back to the beginning there, I like the reminder that Paul gives in the second verse. Having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Our Bible study group discussed this, and it was interesting to hear the different takes on it and how this applies to our life day by day. But I think that he's encouraged us as Christians to renounce all dishonesty. It says hidden things of dishonesty. Don't walk in craftiness. This was convicting to me, you know, how much of my life every day matches this verse. How many of us find it easy just to omit a little bit of truth, maybe in a business deal, or not give the complete truth? Are we tempted with that? One thing that I've found in my life is that the things of Satan, and remember, he's the father of lies, they often have an almost immediate payoff. There's something that tempts my flesh when he tempts me to be a little dishonest or a little untruthful. There's almost always a little benefit to me personally by doing that. And it's fairly immediate. And that's the temptation. But then there's a long-term cost. It almost always costs us trust, maybe friendships. Truth seems to come out for some reason. If we do it God's way and truth from the very beginning, a lot of times we have to die to self a little bit. It usually actually seems like it can cost us a little bit. Maybe we don't get that business deal because we were completely truthful. But in the long run, the things of God pay off in dividends, sometimes in this life, but for sure in eternity. Going on down, verse 3 and 4, it talks about our gospel being hid from those that are lost. And it says, the God of this world blinded their minds, which believe not. Let's not be like that. Let's not let untruth or dishonesty be anywhere in our lives. Because I think it brings in a blindness. If we accept any of Satan's untruths, it blinds us to other things. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Do I bring out Christ in my life every day? Or am I talking about Lowell? When people hear me discuss things, when they see my work, are they pointed to Christ? Or do they think Lowell's a good guy or a bad guy? Verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That verse is kind of hard for me because we would like to think that we're fairly strong, at least us men. This says we're earthen vessels. We're kind of fragile, says later. And I think that's the neat thing about the way God works. He can use us frail human beings with faults. And he can work through us if we let him. And then he gets the glory. Talks about being troubled on every side, persecuted, not forsaken. Different things that we face in our Christian lives are not always easy, especially for our frail human bodies and our frail human egos. But again, as it talks about at the end of the chapter, the reward comes, and it's through that weakness that Christ and God are shown strong. I'm going to read again here in verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And it's another way that I think Christ works that is the opposite from Satan. Satan would like us to do things that boost ourselves up, that increase our human body or our people's perception of us. But God works the opposite. Through those pain and trials and renews our inward man. And I think the key to that is filling our minds with his word and knowing what he says in the Bible. You know, the Bible is the inspired word of God. Do we really believe that? Do we fill our lives with it each day? Literally translated, inspired means God breathed. Do we treat these words right here as if they're literally breaths from God? I'm going to share an example that I also shared with our Bible study class, or our home Bible study. It's kind of humorous. But it really brought this chapter alive in my life. Especially the end there where it talks in 17 and 18 about light affliction was, but is for a moment and worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How many of us, when we're going through these light afflictions, think of them as light? They usually seem pretty heavy, at least afflictions that come in my life, and it's easy to distract me from what's important. I had a couple of does and a buck coming through my yard eating plums off and on. I have a deer tag, and I've been kind of watching them come through there and wondering how I could set up in a spot that I could get a shot at this pretty decent 4x4 buck that was coming up. Anyway, the other evening I saw him coming across the field from the other side of the house, and I just had time to grab my bow, run out the front door, and there's a big blue spruce in my front yard, and he was going to come right by there when he was getting to the plum tree. I had bare feet, and I quickly snuck out there. Didn't even think about it. Didn't have time to put on shoes. Blue spruce needles are really sharp. And I crawled in under that tree, kind of a nice natural ground blind. And I remember thinking as I knelt there on my bare feet that it was uncomfortable. But I was focused on that deer coming across the field. I had my eyes on the goal. And I didn't notice how really uncomfortable it was until probably 10 minutes later, after the deer slowly walked across the yard, almost gave me a shot, and a car came by and scared it. And all of a sudden, my feet hurt really bad. And I remember looking down, and I have these really nice red porcupine pricks all over my feet, and they still hurt. It's been about a week. They're kind of sore. That's a humorous story, but it reminded me, am I distracted by the little things that Satan throws at me every day? These things that Paul calls light afflictions, do they distract my view from the goal, from God, from my Christian life? Or is it like when that deer's coming across the yard, I forget completely about these. They really are light afflictions, and I'm focused on that goal. And I would just like to leave that as a challenge to you all. Focus on Christ the way you focus on a big buck. Or for you ladies, maybe, I don't know, a really good sale or a garage sale, I don't know. We've all got things in our lives that distract us from what's important. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We praise and thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your God-breathed, the breath of you that we have in this word. I pray that we could keep it at the forefront in our lives each day. Help us to live in a way that would be honest, truthful to those we meet. Help us to truly keep things in perspective and to remember that things of this world are temporal. They'll pass away, to not let them distract us from the goal, and that is honoring and serving you. Be with the service today. Be with each of the teachers. Be with Craig as he leads out in the sermon. We pray this in Jesus' name.